President Zelensky of Ukraine has visited the region flooded by the breached Kakhovka Dam. The dam was breached on Tuesday, forcing thousands to flee their homes as water surged down the Dnipro River, flooding dozens of villages and parts of the regional capital Kherson, and sparking fears of a humanitarian disaster. Ukraine and Russia have accused each other of causing the breach, which has left 600 square kilometres underwater. Before we came on air, I spoke to Christopher Miller, Ukraine correspondent for the Financial Times. I began by asking him about the response of international aid organizations to the disaster.
I think the response from them certainly came after public criticism from the Ukrainian government, from Ukrainian activists and first responders on the ground, who said that they had not seen any international presence on the ground there in the immediate aftermath of this dam breaking and floods and these torrents of water that we've seen cover entire cities and towns down there. And then President Zelensky yesterday, in an interview with international media and then again using his social media and his nighttime address, he addressed the fact that international aid organizations were largely absent here. And so I think, you know, that public call out has put pressure on these organizations to work a little bit more quickly and to get a physical presence on the ground there, where so many people are in need of assistance right now.
The scale of the humanitarian challenge here then is beyond the resources of Ukraine to be able to deal with on its own.
It is, absolutely. You know, this is a large region of tens of thousands of people, even hundreds of thousands of people. Those directly impacted by this, who have lost homes, are in the many thousands. You know, this is an area that is rich in agriculture, wildlife. We know, unfortunately, that an entire zoo has been submerged and hundreds of animals are believed to have died in the flood. National parks have been swept away. You know, there is significant damage done to the water systems. There's no drinkable water there at the moment. These aid organizations and Ukrainian volunteers are bringing in fresh water for people here. You know, we're seeing the scale of this catastrophe grow each day. And the water levels still are not quite falling yet. So yeah, it does look like this is going to last for quite a while now.
And whatever about efforts to bring aid to the people on the right bank of the Dnipro in the Ukrainian-controlled territories, what about those who are in the Russian zone on the left bank? What, if anything, is known of the efforts there?
Yeah, I was actually just speaking by phone with some of the Ukrainian residents who live in Russian-occupied areas of Kherson on the other side of the river. And, you know, they are saying that they're not getting much help from Russian-installed authorities there, that despite these messages on social media that everything is essentially hunky-dory, that thousands of people have been safely evacuated, there's no panic, that there actually is panic. One woman was telling me that she has spent hours on top of her roof watching homes and cars float down the river beside her. She was only evacuated when a neighbor managed to get hold of a boat and move through their neighborhood, extracting people from their rooftops and then taking them to safety. And there's also this interactive map that has been created that residents are using to post their names, contact information, and location, essentially putting out these public appeals saying, you know, we need assistance, we're not getting it here, can you please help us? Another NGO director that I spoke to, who is in Ukrainian-controlled Kherson, said that he has a hotline where people can call in and request assistance. And his hotline has been ringing off the hook, mostly from people on the Russian-controlled side who are saying they're not getting the help that they need and asking desperately for help from the Ukrainian authorities.
And as to who was responsible for this, Christopher, the Russians have again accused Ukraine of an attack on the dam which caused this breach. They're saying that it was shelled by Ukrainian forces. I just wonder, is that at all a plausible claim given the scale of this structure? Could it have been breached by artillery?
No, I think it's rather implausible that Ukraine would be behind this. First of all, the dam had been occupied for many months by Russian authorities. There were reports previously that Russian forces had mined the dam. President Zelensky said so himself last autumn. Again, this is a dam and a power plant that were under the control of Russian forces and engineers that have constructed similar dams have said that this is something in the size and scale of which that could only be destroyed from an explosion on the inside. And President Zelensky and his security services have said that it does appear as though this explosion happened from the inside, not the outside. And in fact, that this Soviet era built dam, which was constructed after World War II, was meant to actually be able to take the impact of even a nuclear weapon.
We've talked about the humanitarian consequences of this, the damage to the ecology of this region of Ukraine, but it's also an important agricultural area as well. What at this stage is it possible to assess in terms of the impact on or might be the impact on agricultural output?
This is a place rich in agriculture. Much of Ukraine's seeds and grains are produced in this area. Speaking with environmental and ecological experts yesterday, they said, these massive irrigation systems down there are now completely destroyed. They're talking about farmland eventually becoming mini deserts and farmers being incapable of growing crops there, likely for many years to come. So it's a catastrophe on a huge scale.
Christopher Miller, Ukraine correspondent of the Financial Times and author of the forthcoming book, The War Came to Us, Life and Death in Ukraine.